In mid-May, the 1st Armored Division moved into Iraq, and at month's end it took over as the leading edge of the occupation in the capital. Its commander was Army Major General Ricardo Sanchez, who soon would be promoted and given command of the U.S. ground effort in Iraq. If there is any tragic figure at the top of the American effort in Iraq, it is Sanchez. He was, by all accounts, a good man, somewhat gruff, but hardworking, dedicated, and doing what he was trained to do. But there are few people who contend that he was the man for the job, or that he succeeded in Iraq. Sanchez was an American success story, a dirt-poor Mexican-American kid from the Rio Grande Valley who became the first in his family to go to college, and then he rose to become a senior commander in the U.S. Army. In the Army, he had studied systems analysis, had led a battalion under General McCaffrey in the 1991 Gulf War, had been director of operations at Southern Command, the U.S. military headquarters for operations in South America, and commanded the peacekeeping force in Kosovo. There was and is much to respect about him, but methodical Sanchez often appeared overwhelmed by the situation, with little grasp of the strategic problems he faced. The opinion of many of his peers was that he was a fine battalion commander, who never should have commanded a division, let alone a corps or a nationwide occupation mission. "He was in over his head," said Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Holshek, who served in Iraq in 2003. "He was a fulfillment of the Peter Principle, which holds that people working in hierarchies such as the U.S. Army are promoted until they reach their level of incompetence, at which point they tend to fail spectacularly." Sanchez's most visible failing was his relentless focus on minutia. He was aware that subordinates criticized him for that. "I am very comfortable with a macro look at things, unless I see we have issues," he said one day in his headquarters at the Baghdad airport. When he saw a troubled area, he said, he was determined to dive into it. "When I see we are not paying attention to detail, I get into that," he said. "It is the deep, penetrating questions that embarrass people. I can be pretty rough and penetrating, and sometimes that can get embarrassing if you don't know what you're talking about." But what Sanchez saw as incisive leadership, some around him saw as trivially minded distraction. "All trees, no forest," said one State Department official. "A great logistician, but what's he doing commanding American forces in that part of the world? Not a strategic or political thought." On top of that, Sanchez was placed in the middle of an extraordinarily difficult and tangled command situation. In other U.S. occupations, the commander had been a four-star general, such as Douglas MacArthur in post-war Japan, and Lucius Clay at the same time in Germany. Sanchez was a three-star, that is, a lieutenant general, and in fact the most junior one in the U.S. Army. He jumped from commanding a division of fewer than 20,000 troops to leading a combined U.S. and Allied force of about 180,000 men and women, and in doing so, he was woefully undersupported. The Pentagon calculated that he needed a headquarters staff of 1,400, but during 2003, he was given a fraction of that, at one point hitting a low of just 495. That understaffing was symptomatic of a far larger problem. Sanchez was working for a chain of command that was laboring under a series of false assumptions about post-war Iraq, and that didn't understand the situation it was facing, and so it was consistently underestimating the difficulties it faced and the resources it would need to devote to the problem. On top of that, he was burdened by a jerry-rigged command structure in which there was no one American official, civilian or military, on the ground in Iraq in charge of the overall American effort. Rather, both Sanchez and Bremer reported up to Secretary Rumsfeld, who was at the Pentagon, some 7,000 miles away. "Unity of command is a universal principle in military operations," noted Army Reserve Major Michael Eisenstadt, who served as an intelligence officer in the staff of Central Command. "It is especially important in putting down an insurgency," he said, "because you need to integrate your political, economic, and military activities." Sanchez struggled in the following months. Subordinates report that he tried to focus on achieving victory through quantifying progress, rather than by looking at hazier but perhaps better indicators, such as the quality of the Iraqi police or the polls about what concerned the average Iraqi. I don't think he ever understood the people aspect, that he had to win the will of the Iraqi people, said one subordinate who speaks Arabic and so paid more attention to Iraqi life than most officers.